We have a breaking news audio today on this Sunday, July the 22nd. Some sad news as former Miami Dolphins head coach Tony Sperano passed away today, apparently of a heart attack, but that's not 100% confirmed. I am joined on the podcast today by Tom Ernesty from right here at DolphinsTalk.com. Tom, how are you doing today?
I am doing well. Very unfortunate news that came across our phones this afternoon with Tony Sperano passing away unexpectedly in his home at the age of 56. Way too young.
Way too young. And we're going to talk about him and his time in Miami here briefly. Obviously, our thoughts and prayers are with his family as, like you said, 56 is really, really young. But, it's so unfortunate. And from the reports, it sounds like he was getting ready to head to church and his wife found him in the chair, tried to resuscitate him, I guess, and it couldn't be done. And according to Adam Schefter, I guess Sperano had chest pains late this week, and he went to the doctor on Thursday and they sent him home. And obviously this happens on a few days later here. So that's really unfortunate. I'm sure more information regarding that will leak out. But Tony Sperano, he came to Miami in 2008. He was the hire of Bill Parcells when Parcells took over the Dolphins. He sort of cleaned house. Miami was a mess, 1-15, obviously, in 2007. And he hires Jeff Ireland to be the general manager. And the head coach was this little-known guy from New Haven, Connecticut, who sort of worked his way up through the ranks as an assistant for various NFL teams. He was with the Cleveland Browns. He was with the Washington Redskins. He was with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Then, of course, he was with Parcells with the Cowboys for a few years there. And then Parcells, when he gets the opportunity to run the Dolphins, brings him to Miami. And we all know the story. Year one was a huge success. 2008, the Miami Dolphins coming off a 1-15 season, turn around, go 11-5, win the AFC East. They get a home playoff game. Tom, share some of your thoughts about the 08 season, because obviously that's a magical season for many fans of the Miami Dolphins, especially many younger fans who weren't around for the success of the Marino era or the 70s or even the 90s when the team was still a competitive Super Bowl contender most years. So let's talk about 08, and what are your thoughts on the 2008 season?
You had nowhere else to go but up after 1-15 for the Miami Dolphins. But, all those whirlwind changes when Bill Parcells came on board as the executive vice president of football operations, his first move was to hire Jeff Ireland as the team's new general manager. And he did work for the Cowboys as well. And after going through the coaching tree after Cam Cameron was fired, of course, the names that were interviewed it was absolutely incredible when you think about it. It was obviously Tony Sperano, Todd Bowles, Rex Ryan, Mike Tomlin, a lot of these guys interviewed for the head coaching position, and it was given to Tony Sperano. He came in, immediately says, "I don't care what happened last season. We're going to look forward, and we're going to move in the right direction." The season didn't start very well. When we look back on it, they lose to the Jets 20-14 at home, and then they get rolled against the Arizona Cardinals in Phoenix 31-10. So the team's 0-2, 1-17 in their last 18 games. And then the most infamous game in Miami, one of the most infamous games in Miami Dolphin history, and one of the most eye-popping games in NFL history, was when the Dolphins went into Foxborough and just punched the Patriots in the mouth with this thing called the Wildcat. And they won that game 38-13. And the rest of that season is history. The Miami Dolphins, going 11-5, starting the season 2-4, mind you, winning 9 out of the last 10 to win the division for the first time in the Tom Brady era. And, cementing Tony Sperano's legacy as the coach that turned a team from 1-15 to 11-5. A 10-win turnaround is still tied for the NFL record for the biggest turnaround in the history of the game. And, you know, Tony Sperano was a big part of that. And a lot of guys on Twitter today, a lot of his former players, his first pick, Jake Long being one of them, Brian Hartline, another draft pick. Ronnie Brown, of course, was the quarterback of the Wildcat when they introduced it with Ricky Williams. And it was, it was an unbelievable season. And, you know, watching this team fight every single week and winning football games, in the weirdest ways possible. You know, I remember the game in Arrowhead Stadium when they won 38-31, and of course that final game against the Jets. And one of the best memories that I'll always remember is watching that game finish, and CBS broke into the Dolphins locker room to see the jubilation of the locker room, and Tony Sperano delivering a speech with Wayne Huizenga in tears, enjoying the moment with the guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And 2008 was obviously a magical season, like I said. And something else about Tony was when he came to Miami, he wasn't your typical NFL coach. Tony was sort of that guy who probably would have been a huge success in the NCAA ranks if he was a college coach at a big school. He was very rah, rah, go team, go. And in 2008, Miami sort of needed that. Now, in the NFL, that style of coach usually doesn't last long. That's sort of what happened in Miami with him, among some other factors, obviously. But that style in 08, when you have a team coming off a 1-15 year, you have a whole new front office. The roster, you know, there was a lot of turnover on that roster, but there was still a lot of guys who were there for the 1-15 year who probably had no confidence, who were beaten down from the previous year, and you've got a guy in there who's filled with energy, just loud, a short, loud Italian type guy, sort of pumping them up every day, all year long. It was sort of like a breath of fresh air. And he came in that year one and took charge. He took charge of that locker room. That was a young team. And a few things happened in that year one for him. Number one, when he put together his staff, he brought in his guys like lock, stock, and barrel, without a shadow of a doubt. And what I mean by his guys is, like I said, Tony was from New Haven. Well, he spent a lot of time in New Haven, Connecticut as a coach. And when he was putting together his staff, he went back up there. And he found guys that necessarily didn't have a lot of NFL experience, but guys he knew, guys he worked with, and guys he trusted. And his first defensive coordinator was Paul Pasqualoni, and if you know anything about him, when he was the head coach at Syracuse, he recruited Connecticut like you wouldn't believe, and he had strong ties to Tony Sperano. He also brought in as his tight end coach George DeLeon, who was actually from New Haven, Connecticut, and worked with Paul Pasqualoni at Syracuse and had strong ties in the Connecticut region. He also brought in Rizzi in 2010, who was still in Miami. Rizzi was a coach with Tony in New Haven, Connecticut. Tony Sperano brought in his crew. And at least in year one, although Rizzi wasn't there in year one, it worked. He brought in his guys that he had worked with in the past and guys that he trusted. And then to top it off, the Jets go out and sign Favre, or I think that might have been a trade. I can't remember at this time.
It was
whatever.
A trade, yep.
It was a trade, yeah. And then Pennington falls in his lap. And in this league, as we all know, if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to win. And having Chad Pennington, who wasn't the same guy he was when he was younger, but he was still Chad Pennington. The arm wasn't there, we know, but he was a veteran guy who was not going to turn the ball over. And in that 2008 year, I think they broke the NFL record for fewest amount of turnovers in a season. And it was sort of like the perfect storm came together. On top of that, Tom Brady gets hurt week one, out for the year. And the Miami Dolphins then had their path to a successful season in 2008. And everyone, myself included, all Miami Dolphins fans thought, we got our guy. Tony Sperano's our guy. 2008 works. And the one thing that we still really haven't touched on much in 08 was the Wildcat and how that sort of changed everything. Like you said, Miami started off 0-2, wasn't looking good at all. And Tony, to his credit, said, you know what? They were 1-15 last year. We're starting off this year 0-2, not looking great. What do we got to lose? We're in New England. Let's break it out. And the Wildcat worked. And boy, did it work. Ronnie Brown, Ricky Williams, it just exploded onto the scene. So he gets all the credit for that.
It was the Wildcat, you know, when we had Ronnie Brown on our show and, you know, I asked him, you know, when did you guys have the Wildcat and, you know, how long did you practice it? They said they had it at the beginning of camp in the spring. They started practicing it. But majority of the team felt this is a gimmick. It's probably not going to work. And the offense was putrid in the first 2 weeks of the season. Absolutely putrid. So the best thing that happened was Sperano said, you know what? We have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Let's see if this is going to work. Let's do a couple plays in New England and see how it goes. And it just took off. The Patriots had no idea how to counteract the Wildcat. The only team that really did a great job of that was the Baltimore Ravens, and they did it twice. They smoked us in the regular season and then smoked us in the playoffs.
After they saw it for many weeks and had time to put together a plan, and plus they did have two Hall of Famers on that defense and Reed and Lewis. So, yeah, few teams could really stop at year one, and they caught everyone by surprise.
It was a great thing. And, you know, think about this. You know, Tony Sperano's lasting memory, you know, in the NFL is how great of a coach he was, how much of a player coach he was, and how much he invested in his guys, whether it's from the coaching staff all the way down to the water boy. He invested into his staff. And we kind of see that now with Adam Gase doing the same thing with his staff. So not to say that, hey, here's our next Tony Sperano. We don't want that kind of situation again where our coach gets fired. But Adam Gase has this team. Danny Amendola went on there and said the same thing about Adam Gase. He's one of the guys where he came from New England where there was a principal, and that was, of course, Belichick. So Amendola is enjoying his time. But that's what Sperano brought to the Dolphins in the summer of 2008 when the team came together in training camp and they had fun. You know, they had the right guys in place. They bought into the system. They bought into everything he was selling. And the Dolphins were very successful. Very successful. And this is after Bill Parcells even got rid of Jason Taylor.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
it's just mind-boggling how how this team, starting 0-2, came together to finish the season 11-3, all because Sperano and David Lee, who actually came from Arkansas, where they ran the Wildcat, where they formulated a plan with Dan Heading and said, "This is what we're going to do," and when Sperano gave the thumbs up to do it, the guys just they took advantage of the situation. And then the Dolphins became media darlings. Honestly, I think 2008 was the last time the Dolphins were darlings of the NFL when all eyes were on this team every week. And then when the Wildcat formation formed on the road or most importantly at home, the fans stood up on their feet. They cheered like crazy because they knew something big was going to happen.
It was fun to watch.
Whether it was a 5 or 6 yard carry, or a pass by Ronnie Brown, or a direct handoff to Ricky Williams, who was coming across the line of scrimmage, and he goes for 25, 30 yards. It was just so much fun to watch.
Yep, and each week, as they got more comfortable with the Wildcat, they were throwing a wrinkle here, throwing a wrinkle there, and sort of mix it up a little bit, and it was fun to watch. It was, like I said, it was a jolt of energy into a franchise that had just been beaten down the year before, and that was absolutely dead. And that's what they needed with their head coach, and that's what they needed with the Wildcat. It was the perfect storm. Now, look, we know after 2008, he had some rough years in Miami, Sperano. We're not going to harp on that today. We're going to talk about a few of the things, but, you know, look, it's probably not the time. But It was tough because after this league is a quarterback's league. You either have one or you don't. It's not his fault because he wasn't picking the players. The one thing that probably hampered him the most and probably has hampered this franchise the most was when they took Jake Long over Matt Ryan. Not his fault, but that did play into, you know, 2009, 2010, 2011, where Miami didn't have a quarterback. Pennington got hurt again, wasn't the same guy. The offensive line, you know, Tony was an offensive line coach his whole life, essentially. In Miami, could never straighten out the offensive line. And like I said, you got to have a quarterback in this league. Obviously, we know at the end, I think what hurt him the most in Miami was the ownership change. Because once Parcells said, see you later, I'm gone. I'm not going to work with Mr. Ross. Then it became utter chaos. Obviously, the Harbaugh thing. Then they give him an extension, Sperano. But, you know, he knew the handwriting was on the wall. It didn't end good in Miami, to say the least. But the ownership change really did hurt him there. But, you know, for 1 year, you know, he had that year. And not a lot of head coaches in this league can say they had a year like that. It's just so sad. He's so young, 56 years old. That's too young. And it's just really unfortunate because I saw the news today on my phone when it broke. I was at my parents' house having Sunday dinner, and I was like, oh, geez, not Tony. Because, you know, like I said, he's not Vince Lombardi, but he was a great guy. Everyone who talked to him all said he was a great guy. Just one of those guys that you love to just be around and just talk with and to. All the players, they played hard for him. Even in his lean years in Miami, that team played hard for him each week. You got to give him that. And it was a lot of factors why it didn't work out in the end of Miami. Whatever, is what it is. But Tony Sperano in 2008 had an amazing year, and it's just so sad to hear this news today.
It's very disappointing. And, you know, going on to the same thing that you just talked about here a second ago, even with everything, the handwriting on the wall and Stephen Ross flying out to see Jim Harbaugh to offer him the head coaching position while Sperano was still the head coach, awful PR in the PR department. We can talk about that for about 24 hours. Yeah. But through everything that through everything that was happening to Tony Sperano in his last couple years in Miami, the guy was positive. He took everything, you know, so professionally. He handled everything the way he was supposed to handle it. And even when he was in Oakland, when they fired their head coach, and he took over as interim head coach, that team went 3-9. But the players on that Raiders team at the end of the 14th season was asking ownership to keep Tony Sperano as the head coach.
Yep.
That says a lot about the man. That says a lot about who he was as a coach and how much he brought to each franchise. And, you know, being the offensive line coach in Minnesota, how great was Minnesota last year?
Absolutely.
They were pretty good. And a big product of that was because of their offensive line.
I'll tell you what else says a lot about him, too. So his final year in Miami is 2011. He gets fired halfway through the season. At the end of the year, what's his next job? His next job, he's hired by Rex Ryan as the offensive coordinator of the Jets. Rex Ryan goes, this guy, he gave me fits for years when he was in Miami. I want him on my side now. Rex Ryan handed him his offense and said, you run my offense. Now, look, it didn't work out there either. I'm not going to go into that. But the fact he was respected so much by a coach he went up against two times a year, each year, to say, you know what, this guy gave me fits, he drove me nuts, and he's on the market, and I want him now because I respect him. Because he never worked with Rex Ryan before. He didn't know Rex Ryan from a hole in the wall, but they faced each other each year. I think Rex Ryan got to the Jets in 08 too, I think. So each year, or maybe 09, I'm not sure, but you know, twice a year, and he's like, I like that guy. He's a good coach. I want him on my team. So that says a lot about him as well. Just a guy everyone respected. Everyone liked, everyone enjoyed. And like I said, this is so sad because 56 is young. It really is. I don't know. I mean, I'm not even sure. I know he has a few kids, I think. I'm not quite sure. He has three children. He has two sons and a daughter. Wow, that's tough. That's absolutely awful. Yeah. So we wanted to do a short little breaking news audio on this today to talk about Tony Sperano and his time in Miami. We will be back with more podcasts this week as, of course, training camp starts off on Wednesday, although the first real day of practice really isn't until Thursday. I will have a podcast on Monday that will drop with a special interview I think everyone will enjoy. And we're going to end this podcast right now. And as we go out, we're going to play a clip from the head coach when he was first hired from the Miami Dolphins in 2008. So as we end this show, sit back and listen to Tony Sperano from his introductory press conference back in 2008 when he was hired as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
I wanted it because of the people here. Okay? At the end of the day, Coach Parcells, my relationship with him, Jeff Ireland, okay, Mr. Huizenga, getting a chance to meet him last night. Hey, the people here in Miami, I just know how bad they want to be successful here, and I wanted to be a part of that. I enjoy the people here. I know what the people here are capable of, and I'm excited about that. You know, some of them might be saying, oh, my God, what did he get himself into one way or the other with this big stage? But at the end of the day, you know, we're going
to
love it.
I have to call the plays. I will. I'm going to be very involved in tuning you, to be honest with you.
Obviously, you have to go through a culture change here right now. I mean, I don't really care what happened in the past. That isn't my concern. Okay, my concern is what's happening today, right now, as we're standing here.
You get to know one another, I'll make my own judgments from that standpoint.